We're going to talk about earthen vessels. What in the world is an earthen vessel? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Send your Holy Spirit to speak and guide through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I love that verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, anytime you see "but" in the Bible, it's almost always a negative thought, and then the "but" is a transition to "but God, who is rich in mercy," right? "But God, who does this." This is one of the few places that it's backwards. It tells us that this light shined out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But here's the negative thing. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. And then he explains what it means to be an earthen vessel. It means trouble. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, in our mortal flesh. And so, when we say earthen vessels, we're talking about the humanity side of me, of you. Our weaknesses. We come from dust. And the Bible says, dust we will return. All through the scriptures, many times, prophets will remind God, "Well, you know, Lord, I'm just dirt. I'm just dust." And God knows that. I think we're the ones that forget it sometimes. Earthen vessels also, that verse can also be translated jars of clay. That's where the group got its name, an earthen vessel, a jar of clay. And yet we have a treasure in this earthen vessel, which is the glorious light of God through Jesus Christ. In a earthen vessel, a ceramic cup, a jar of clay, an earthen vessel, it's made of dirt. I put here in my slide Monk so I wouldn't forget this. How many of you guys have ever seen the TV series Monk? He has got a phobia for dirt, doesn't he? I mean, he like will wipe things off and wipe off his shoes. And has anyone not seen Monk? Okay, everybody's on the same page. Well, you know, when you think about, you know, here's Monk. He's like this super powerful detective with all of these deductive skills above and beyond his peers, and yet dirt freaks him out, right? Well, God is a super being above everybody, and you would think that in his holy heaven, where streets are gold and there's not dust or dirt or debris or decay, that he would invent or create a vessel to put his spirit in that would be not dirt. But he didn't. God is not Monk, right? That you needed me to tell you that this morning. God put his treasure in dirt, in me, in you. The people God chooses are the people God uses, it has been said, and God uses us, and it kind of blows my mind how God can use us, and we're dirt, we're earthen vessels. When we think about heroes of the Bible, contrasting that to a hero like a comic book hero like Superman. Superman was superhuman. That's what Superman short for. Superhuman. He's a Superman. Nothing hurts him except kryptonite, and that's not even of this earth. It's from Krypton. For all of you that aren't nerds and know all that stuff. But nothing, he could go through walls, he had heat vision, he had x-ray vision, he was Superman. And that's the difference between fiction in the Bible. I've had people say the Bible was written by man. I said if it was written by man, the heroes would be like Superman. They wouldn't have any flaws. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The Bible heroes are not superhuman. They are people just like you and me. They are earthen vessels. They come from dirt. They are downcast, brokenhearted, troubled, miserable, despairing, and depressed. Now, I have to say, Christians are probably the most judgmental people in the world. And I'm going to get on Christians a little bit this morning. We've all been guilty of it. Because we think that this dirt that walks through the door that knows Jesus should never be downcast, brokenhearted, troubled, miserable, depressed, or despairing. In fact, I'm really glad that we brought up Judy's prayer request today because she's right. People judge people. And it's wrong. Matthew 7:1, judge not, lest you be judged. In fact, the Bible teaches that the only judgment Christians should do is judge the church. Judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. We're not to judge people. We're to judge ourselves. And we're dirt. We're miserable. I remember when I was in Abilene, Texas, and I told the pastor that I was called into the ministry. He let me preach a little bit. And this is one of those Word of Faith churches. And the pastor's wife, when I walked the door, she expected you to say, she'd say, how are you? And she expected you to say, I'm blessed. You know, or the way they said it in Western Texas, blast, right? And you know, me, I kind of buck religion. Anytime it's mechanical or orchestrated, it just kind of rubs me the wrong way. So she'd say, how are you? And I'd say, abundant. And she'd say, and exuberant, and happy, and I'd stood there all day if I didn't give it, blessed. Okay, I'm blessed. But you know, sometimes people come to church and they're downcast. Sometimes they're miserable, they're troubled, they're despairing, they're depressed. I wonder what she'd have said if I went in one day and went, I'm depressed. Yeah, I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I remember years ago when I was going to Calvary, I got to preach a Sunday night, and I preached it on, I was thinking of the Beatles song, Eleanor Rigby, who kept her face in a jar by the door, Walking Wounded, that was the title, and it's true, there are people who come to church, and they put their face on, and act like everything's okay, but they're not okay, and if we knew, if they said that, we might distance ourselves or judge them when we need to love them, because they're just earthen vessels, right? And so anyway, let's take a look at some of these verses. Psalm 38:4. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as heavy burdens, they are too heavy for me. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. This is a great psalm to quote over yourself if you're depressed. I've preached on depression from this psalm before. But the point is, people get depressed, don't they? They do, right? Christians get depressed. Preachers get depressed. Song leaders get depressed. Millionaires get depressed. Some of the people, Elijah, 1 Kings 19:4, we're going to talk a little bit more about Elijah in the closing, but you remember the story where he done all these wonderful things. He called fire from heaven, and then Jezebel threatened to have his head removed, and the man ran from this woman, and he was scared. It says he went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Isn't it funny how one day you can be one of these great people calling fire from heaven, and the next day you can wish to die? Do you know why that happens? Because you're in an earthen vessel. You're human. Human people have human problems, and God loves you anyway. You know, that gives me great comfort. That gives me peace. That gives me an assurance of God's love. Because I am not having to measure up to some standard to meet God's love. You know, when I got saved, I wasn't looking for God, and I was doing whatever I wanted. And He loved me while I was yet a sinner. How much more does He love me now? Even when I get depressed. Even when I blow it. Even when I don't do it right. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, there's Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah who ran from God. A lot of times everybody remembers the story from chapters 1 through 3, but forgets chapters 4. When Jonah is wanting Nineveh to be toasted by God, and he's waiting to see that God is going to do what he didn't want God to do, and that is spare them. And so you would think that someone would be happy that God is not toasting people, but not Jonah. He wanted them toast. And so Jonah says in chapter 4, verse 3, "Now therefore, Lord, take, I beseech you, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." This guy was messed up. He was an earthen vessel. And then down in verse 9, "And God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the gourd?" Remember the gourd story? We won't go into that. And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." I mean, this guy was messed up. This guy exhibited what an earthen vessel does. They get mad. They get depressed. They get mad at God. Things aren't going their way. He's just dirt, like you and me. And then, of course, there's Job. Boy, I hope God never trusts me so much like he trusted Job. Because what a test Job went through. In chapter 3, verse 26, "I was not in safety, neither had I any rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Verse 1 of chapter 10, "My soul is weary to life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." And then down in chapter 30, verse 15, "Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passes away as a cloud." When you read the beginning of the book of Job, the devil has been running around the earth and seeing who he can mess with. That's my paraphrase version. And God says, "Did you check out Job?" You know, think about that. God, ixnay, you know, don't point me out to the devil. But God pointed Job out to the devil. You know, that will mess with some people's theology, because they only see God always just pouring blessings on you because you're his child. But sometimes God puts us through a test. Sometimes God says, "You know, I think I'll just pull the curtain of protection back and let the devil beat on them a little bit just to see what they're made of." That will mess with your theology. But that's exactly what happened. "Have you seen my servant Job? No, let me go check him out. Let me kill him." No, just mess with him a little bit. Sometimes we get messed with by the devil a little bit. Sometimes we get depressed. We feel like God doesn't love us. We're earthen vessels. And then Moses, of course, Moses 32:32. "Here is the man who is the man of mans of the Old Testament, Moses. 5 books by him. The law given to the children of Israel, the Jews." And Jesus said, "We are the children of Moses." Moses, you know, Moses is the man. And yet he said, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sins, and if not, just blot me out, I pray, out of the book which you have written." That's pretty scary, telling God to just blot me out of your book. I don't know. I don't think I'd ever be that brave or that depressed or that discouraged. But Moses was. And then, of course, Jeremiah. Our reading was from Jeremiah. He's called the weeping prophet for a reason. Here's a preacher who had a ministry and didn't have one convert his entire career. In fact, he was persecuted. He was thrown in an empty well. He was thrown in prison. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. God had to give him a forehead of iron, flint, just so he wouldn't get so depressed that he committed suicide because of the people around him. And in chapter 20, verse 14, he said, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born, Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Wherefore, verse 18, came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. I got good news for you. Moses and Jeremiah and Job, they're all in heaven right now. And they're not in an earthen vessel anymore. The comfort that we have being in earthen vessels is that it's not our permanent home. Amen. It's just our temporary home. It's a test. But we have this treasure from God in this earthen vessel. Psalm 8:4. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. And of course, that word angel there is actually translated a little lower than the Godhead. Mistranslated from King James. We're not lower than the angels. Our body is lower because it's an earthen vessel. But the thing, the treasure that's in us, we are higher than the angel. In fact, Paul told the Corinthians, one day we will judge angels. We are just a little lower than the Godhead. And we look in the mirror, we feel the aches and pains, we feel the heartache and the despair sometimes, and we don't feel like we're a little lower than the Godhead. But one day, church, we're going to know that we're a little lower than the Godhead. Hold on a little longer. It's just an earthen vessel. Amen. Glory to God. That gets me happy. Higher than the angels. We'll rule and reign with Christ. We'll judge angels. And that's the treasure. And that's who you and I really are. That's who we are. I said that's who we are. Amen. But now we're going back to the vessel again. I had to throw that in there so you wouldn't get too depressed and leave before I got done, right? You're doing dishes. I told them in Sunday school, you know, I like doing dishes because that's the time when I can talk to the Lord and sing. So I'm doing my doing dishes thing. You hear a noise, you turn your elbow, you knock off your favorite. I just was going to say mug, but I had to put Star Trek mug in there, right? Because then it has more meaning, at least to me anyway, maybe not to you. You turn, your elbow hits your favorite mug, and it falls and it breaks because it's breakable. See, that's the thing. We're breakable. You're breakable. I'm breakable. That's what earthen vessels are. They're breakable. You know, I'm not here to bash different translations, and we know that there are translations from the People's Common to the New to the King James, and then there's translations from the other text that the scholars say is better because it's older, but it's only older because the People's Common versions got worn out. So that's why I preach from King James or New King James. But in the NIV, from that other translation, there are verses left out, and one of the ones that bothers me the most is when Jesus went in the temple and opened Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." And he goes through this list of things that he's anointed. And one of them is to heal the broken heart. And you won't find that in the NIV. I'm sorry, NIV lovers, not bashing your book. It's not in that translation. And wow, that just ticks me off. Because I know sometimes there's probably going to be a broken-hearted vessel that needs to hear that Jesus came. You know, we say, well, he came to die for me, he came to save me. And we think about all of the spiritual aspects. We forget about the broken vessels that he came to heal, the broken-hearted, the earthen vessels. One day, Samuel the prophet was told to fill your horn with oil and go to the house of Jesse. I would have loved to meet Samuel. What a man of God. I mean, he started living with Eli, the prophet, in the temple when his mother Hannah gave him to the Lord, literally gave him to the Lord. And he lived at the temple and he learned to hear from God. And he grew up to be one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And one day, the Lord speaks to him. Samuel, fill your horn with oil and go. Now, of course, you know, they had the horns of the rams, and they had a plug in it, so it became like a vessel to carry something. But this earthen vessel is carrying the oil of the Lord. and the oil of the Lord was going to be administered to be poured over the head of the next king of Israel. And he goes to the sons of Jesse. And they're all there except the snotty-nosed kid who's watching the sheep. And he goes before each one of them. Here we go. Here's a picture. He goes before each one of them. And, of course, when I used to do kids' ministry, I'd always say, and one of them looked a little like Elvis. Thank you very much. And he's like, this has got to be the man, you know. And one of them looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. I'm the man, right? And so, you know, man, he's thinking, okay, this has got to be the guy. No, this has got to be the guy. This has got to be the guy. This has got to be the guy. And none of them are the guy. And he's got the horn and he's got the oil. He just doesn't have the earthen vessel. And he's looking at these vessels, these men, these earthen vessels, thinking, surely this has got to be the one. But the Lord says, this is not the one. And they go get David. And then he's confused. This little teenage boy who smells like sheep is brought in. And he says, the Lord says to Samuel, don't look on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord, meaning refused Saul, for the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You know, some people may judge you by your outward appearance. They may judge you by your weaknesses. Again, I just want to go back, because I think the Lord had us talk about this young man that was shot by the police officers. And thank you, Judy, for sharing the human side of this story. I remember hearing people judging this young man, and I thought the same thing. I thought, you know, we don't know all of the life experiences that brought him to that place and that time. And yes, he shot at cops. And then you hear he didn't want to go back to jail. He would rather die than go back to jail. I understand. He had these life experiences, and we shouldn't judge the outward. God knew his heart. And God knows your heart. Amen. And so, we have this verse in Zechariah. I have an Alexa now in my bedroom. I have them all through my house. I kind of went a little crazy with these little dots, as they call them. And I've been waking up a lot early. I haven't been sleeping real good. And I found out there is the Word for Today podcast by my mentor, Pastor Chuck. And I can just wake up, not even have to open my eyes. The wake word, of course, I've changed to computer, not Alexa. And I say, computer, play the Word for Today podcast, latest episode. And it starts off like the radio broadcast, the 30-minute with the little music at the beginning. You're listening to the Word for Today with Pastor Chuck Smith, blah, blah, blah. And this last week, he was talking about this verse in Zechariah. It was fresh on my mind about the potter. It's the prophecy. And I remember talking about how amazing it is that not only was Jesus betrayed for this 30 pieces of silver, the silver was used to buy the potter's field, if you remember in the New Testament. And this verse here in Zechariah, you know, not just one of these, two of them in this one verse. And the Lord said to me, cast into the potter a goodly price that I was priced at them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And of course, that was a prophecy of Jesus being betrayed with the 30 pieces of silver. They took the silver and they bought the potter's field. But since we're talking about earthen vessels, I was thinking about this whole potter's field thing. And I began to do a little Googling. You know, that's the modern word for research. We don't go to the Dewey Decimal System in the library anymore. We just Google it. And it took me a while to find it, because I wanted to know what the origin of the potter's field was. And since, you know, the Bible is, the New Testament is 2,000 years old, just about every reference to a potter's field is a plot of ground used to bury the indigent, the poor, which is what they were going to do. And I had to do a little more digging, because I knew there had to be, since the Bible had it as a reference before they used it for that, it had to have a meaning before that, and it does. And it was a plot of ground that a potter had his shop at or owned that had a lot of clay or special kinds of soil that you would mix to make pottery. Makes sense. And so you would find two areas in the potter's field. You would have an area where he excavated the clay to make the pots, and then you would have another area where he would throw the broken pots that messed up. You know, if you've ever done pottery, you make the pottery on the wheel and you let it dry. That's called greenware. And then you put it in the kiln and you fire it, right? And then you glaze it, and then sometimes you fire it again in the kiln. Now there's one problem. If there is any moisture still inside that greenware before you fire it, it will break. And so you have to make sure you get all the moisture out on the wheel, and then you got to make sure it's thoroughly dried out over several days. And if it breaks, it's broken. So he would toss it out to the one area of the potter's field, and out there you would have these broken vessels, or what may be known as crackpots. You ever been called a crackpot? I don't know if anybody's called me that, but I bet you they've thought it a few times. My weakness, my brokenness, my humanity just proves what God has already said, that the glorious thing that God has given me is inside an earthen vessel, a cracked pot, fractured. Think about it. Think about it when the devil says to you, you've promised me 50 times you'd never do that and you did it again. Or when the world looks down their nose at you and says, well, I'd stay clear of that guy if I were you. Or 1,000 other people or things or thoughts or whatever. You know, this week I was praying, and I had, here at the church, Wednesday night, and I had the most amazing experience with the Lord that I have had in a long time. I was rehearsing my weaknesses, and he reminded me of his love. God loves earthen vessels. God doesn't ever expect you to be perfect. And you will go to heaven because of what Jesus did, not because of your actions. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Isaiah 42:3 says, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. That judgment doesn't mean like crack a whip judgment. It means enlightenment judgment. He will righteously judge. It's that God's not looking on the outward, God's looking on your heart. You may do a lot of things wrong, but God knows your heart. He knows your heart. I'm a Christian today because of that one thought, because I have made a lot of mistakes, but I know that God knows I love Jesus. That's good enough for God. And so this whole thing, a bruised reed he won't break and a smoldering flax he won't quench, is about cracked pots, bruised, hurting people that God's not going to just throw out the back door like the potter, or the smoking flax you... Your faith is so small, it's just a glowing ember, and God's not going to wet his fingers and extinguish it. He's going to fan the flame again. And I believe he's fanning the flame in people's lives this morning, because that's how God is. And so back to Elijah as we prepare to close here. If you remember the story, Elijah again was running from Jezebel, and he finally went. And he goes into a cave, a black, dark cave. I think this is a beautiful picture of depression. That's where depressed people go. They go into black, dark caves. And the angel of the Lord came to him and touched him a second time and said, arise and eat, and because the journey is great. And he arose and he ate and he drank, and he went and strengthened that meat for 40 days and 40 nights to the mount of God. And he came there into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? Man, I've been depressed before, and the Lord has said the same thing to me. You know, it's like, as Christians, we're not allowed to live there. He knows we're earthen vessels. We're allowed to go there, but he won't let us stay there. He understands your despair. He understands your depression. He understands how you feel, and he's okay. He's not condemning you. This is not a judgmental thing. What are you doing here? You should be more spiritual. It's, why are you staying here? And of course, he doesn't answer that question because he's broken. He's a broken vessel. He feels like he's all alone. And he says, I've been jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel who have forsaken your covenant and throw down your altars and slain your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Have you ever felt all alone? Nobody's in my corner. This is what Elijah felt. It wasn't the truth, because the devil is a master liar. Because we are earthen vessels, sometimes we listen, but it wasn't the truth. And he says, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord. Go forth. You will never find God saying retreat. Look in the Bible. You will never find God saying run backwards. I don't want to go forward. Go forward. Put one foot in front of the other. Go forth. Get out of the cave. Go forth. You know, God is not condemning us in the cave. He's drawing us out of the cave. His love is wooing us out of the cave. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, earthquakes, but the Lord was not in the earthquakes. And after the earthquakes, a fire, but the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. This is a great verse for all of the people who want you to always say, blessed, right? Because he's not in the fire. He's not in the earthquakes. He's in a loving whisper to the broken vessels. I love you. So Elijah went in a deep, dark cave of depression, and God gently urged him out. He wooed him out with love and gentleness and compassion. God loved him, and he didn't condemn him. And God knows him, and he knows you. And we're just earthen vessels. I made reference to Wednesday night. What really changed in that prayer was God spoke to me and said, so what? Never had God say that before. As I'm telling him my weaknesses and my flaws, and he said, so what? So what? God said that. So what? You know, sometimes all it takes is one word from God to shatter what the devil has put on you for months or years. So what? So what? You're just an earthen vessel. I'm not really worried about that. Why are you? So what? So what? I'm sorry, I'm just feeling it right now. Just got to stop and just feel it. I hope you feel it too. If the devil has put anything on you, he's a liar. You say, well, I really wanted to do this or be this, or I've got this hang up, or I've got this depression, or I've got this addiction, or I've got this, or I've got this. So what? Jesus loves you. So what? You may never break your addiction. You may never break your habit. You may never arrive where you think God wants you. So what? Jesus loves you just as you are. You are his earthen vessel. we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Praise God. Come on up, Nola. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know a lot of other languages. I do know Pig Latin, by the way. Ig pay atinle. But in case you forget, hallelujah means praise the Lord. Right? That's really what it means. You're saying it in God's version, God's translation, God's other language. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. And one of the big things the enemy doesn't want you to do, and I think that's why he picks on our humanity so much, our weakness, our earthen vessels, is he doesn't really want you praising God. He wants you living in the cave of Elijah. He wants you to major on your weaknesses instead of his goodness. He wants you to dwell on the things that you can't do instead of what God can do. You're just an earthen vessel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to just take a minute to just spend some time in prayer this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for that but in our text. You've shown the light of Christ in our hearts. We know who Jesus is. We are believers. And the devil will say, yeah, but this and that, this and that. And you said, yeah, the light shined in your heart, but you're just an earthen vessel. And I know that. I know that. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you that you love broken pottery, earthen vessels. Thank you that you love us just as we are. Thank you, Lord, that we may not always do it right or say it right or cross the finish line the way we think we should, but thank you, Lord, you put a treasure in us, earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. You're here this morning and you raise your hand and say, Brother Roger, pray for me because I'm where you were at Wednesday. I need to feel what you felt. I need to feel God's love in my life, that his love for me is unconditional. Pray for me, Brother Roger. Just slip your hand up right now, back down. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Anybody else? That's you. Don't be bashful. Sometimes we just need to, I'm not even going to call you forward, so don't worry about that. All right, let's pray. Now, whether you raised your hand or you didn't, the good news is, as an earthen vessel, you're going to screw up again. You say, well, Brother Roger, how is that good news? Well, that verse said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. So every time I blow it, every time I fail to live up to what I want me to be, it just proves God's love that much more. Because Jesus didn't die for good people, and he didn't die for perfect people. He died for all people. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just pray for those that raised their hands this morning, that you fill them with your Spirit right now, your Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit of God, who Jesus called the Comforter, fill their heart and mind with this glorious treasure and help them, Lord, to ignore the voices that say they're not good enough or they're not spiritual enough or they shouldn't do this or be that. Help them love themselves again the way you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever you got.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
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 Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm glad I came to church today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you.